behind everyone. They're all in a line
right.
behind the play, right?
Right.
And when CMC would come out, he would stand almost back farther than everyone else. He was chomping at the bit, not just to play, but I think to shut up the Broncos. You could just see that guy. Look, I will never doubt Christian McCaffrey's competitive fire. That guy wants it.
Well,
bad.
Well, that's the thing. I know CMC wants it. I know
Brandon Ayuk wants it.
I know Brandon Ayuk, even on the sidelines.
I got the sense from Brandon Ayuk, he was not happy that he couldn't participate.
God, and it just shows yesterday with the wide receiver room how desperately they miss Brandon Ayuk, because him just would have, if he was out there, hell, they missed Juwan Jennings.
They missed Jennings. They missed a big body guy who can come down with a catch in traffic.
And talking about winners and losers, this is good, bad, the ugly, but if you do like a winners and losers, I think Juwan Jennings not being there turned into a winner for him in his negotiations, Joe. Are you kidding me?
Not a doubt in my mind.
Now all of a sudden, I am kind of with the conspiracy that, yeah, maybe he was like him and his agent. Wow, this Broncos defense is really good. Maybe if I miss this joint practice, I'm not reporting anything. I'm just, this is just speculation.
It's all speculation.
Just, hey, you know what? Maybe if I miss this and it highlights just how thin they are at that position, maybe we can get the ball rolling here sooner rather than later on this contract extension. Give me a couple more million, guys. I'll be out there. Calm the waters. Because Purdy needs him. Absolutely he needs him.
Oh, no doubt.
He was number one last year.
No doubt. I mean, look, if he's legitimately injured, Juwan Jennings, like, that's concerning in its own right. Because they're super thin at receiver.
They're injured everywhere, too. Like, that's another rat on the table right now. The injury report, they're all going to be 49ers related. Juwan, Ayuk, Garendo, Cowing. Now you got Jordan James out for a few weeks because he broke his finger, right? Like, Michael Williams, hyperextended knee. The list goes on and on and on. And that's the one thing. That's the only way you, because they didn't lose yesterday. Like, it was a practice, right? And they're only going to get better.
Again, I came away encouraged in a lot of areas.
The only way they lose is when you lose players. When people get hurt.
Well, that's why Michael Williams was a big blow.
Like, the Chargers.
And they're lucky they dodged
the Chargers took a massive step back. They lost their left tackle yesterday, Rashawn Slater. He's out for the season.
I mean,
that's a loss.
They're in trouble.
They're in trouble. When big boys and big name players and players you are counting on all season long go down in either training camp or a preseason game, that's the only way you lose before a season starts, is that way. And that is what you don't want. And that is why that's the argument against playing some of these guys and playing your starters in these preseason games. I understand the Sean McVays of the world, but I do think the Niners are in a position right now where they need all the reps they can get. Some of these guys do, right? I think Pearsall needs to keep getting reps and reps and reps. I think I would like to see, you know, when he does come out there, the Michael Williams, obviously, if it's just a hyperextension, he comes back next week. Bryce Huff needs all these reps. I want to see more of Bryce Huff. But the young guys that you drafted, the Alfred Collins of the world, right, Joe? You know, the CJ Wests of the world. Can they flash tomorrow against the Broncos? I don't care if it's against the twos or the threes. Just flash. Because I'll see the skill set. I'll see the talent. Hell, Garendo, I saw it in the preseason last year. Remember that crazy game against the Raiders? Like, it was like back and it was like going to like overtime. Like, they don't do overtime anymore, but like it was going back and forth. There was kickoff returns.
Yeah.
Like, this, no one could stop anyone and when it came to special teams. But, like, I even saw some flashes from Garendo then. I was like, oh, okay, maybe this rook's got something.
You know, I've been going to practice for 5 years now, right? Mm-hmm. And when you watch the position groups drill and you watch the team on 11-on-11s and then you're seeing the subs coming in and out, the last couple years, you could name every starter.
Yeah.
That's number one. And then all the backups were pretty solidified, whether they were veterans or draft picks that had some status. And then all the extra guys that were on the fringe of getting cut, you're like, oh, well, that guy will be an NFL player somewhere. What really stuck out to me yesterday is that this Niner team, different from years past, A, there are a lot of jobs up for grabs, which is the first time in 5-6 years. I haven't seen this many jobs up for grabs in a long time. And then B, when they make all their cuts, I'm not sure how many of those guys that get cut are actually going to get picked up by other NFL teams. They're thinner after the first six guys than they've been in a long time. Now, they have a lot of young guys who can go in either direction. They can develop, and then they can be a part of that depth that they're so missing right now and be impact starters. Or, you know, they don't pan out. You know, time will tell. but they're really thin. And I look at running back and the unknown of CMC, what really scares me, Patrick Taylor Jr. getting second team reps. Corey Kiner getting third string reps.
And this is what Brian Baldinger told us yesterday about how important the running game is. Obviously, it's important. Saquon Barkley, and you look at what Christian McCaffrey did just a couple years ago with these 49ers. But Baldy breaks it down better than anyone else, talking about the best teams being running offenses.
Teams that are running the football right now are winning. Philadelphia ran it 725 times last year, the third most in NFL history. You know, Detroit, Baltimore, like these teams are running it 55% of the time, just in between 55 to 60% of the time. I feel like there's a shift. And so the 49ers can be involved in that because they have been able to run it. And that's why your first question, Joe, about, you know, Christian McCaffrey is so important. Being able to finish games running it, finishing on third, you know, completing third downs, finishing it in the red zone, finishing it from the 2-yard line. That's why the Eagles with this tush-push was so important. They held on to the ball. They finished drives. They finished, you know, they scored rushing touchdowns. Like, these defenses are so good right now, so talented that in these matchup zones that teams are doing, like, these windows are small. Like, they're sitting on top of these routes. Like, you better find a way to run the football right now.
And that's why I think there's going to be a retooling, not a reinvention per se, but Kyle Shanahan's going to have to get creative this year when it comes to the offense because of all the depth or lack thereof at the positions and the skill positions, Joe, whether it's wide receiver, whether it's running back. Like, you got to get Pearsall in motion. That's something I came away with yesterday. Both you and I were discussing that. You got to get Pearsall in motion because he's not just this physical specimen. He's not this Randy Moss.
You can't line him up on the line of scrimmage.
You can't. That's not his game.
And they play press and expect him to win right away all the time.
No, and you got to get him in motion. You got to get creative here. You got to get Christian McCaffrey moving a little bit more, right, in the passing game. So, you know, we always talk about the run setting up the pass. Well, sometimes you got to use kind of like the pass as a makeshift run game for you at times.
That's why they looked so good in the 2-minute drill yesterday. Yeah. I actually thought that was pretty. He looked so rhythmic in that. Mm-hmm. He's really started to feel himself. And where did Kittle and Pearsall make a lot of their money? On those short out routes.
And the biggest completion, too, is right in the middle of the field. I think it was to Kittle as well. Yeah. Right? Just dead center. Yeah. That's where Brock lives, and this throwing offense has worked, whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo in the past, whether it's Trey Lance, right?
He was a little off early. I thought he was holding the, because again, the O-line wasn't good yesterday. They got dominated, and I just thought that he had to hold the ball a lot longer than he wanted to, and his throws were a little behind, guys.
Right. Well, it's still
early
even,
in practice.
Still even scared me when he was throwing to the middle of the field, but it was a nice throw. It was a nice catch from Kittle, but you looked hesitant at times. And that's
Kittle
the thing.
Is a beast.
Kittle's just, that was your good. That was the great for me. The great
he is
about it.
So good.
He's gonna. I'm calling it right now. He's going all pro this season. He stays healthy. He will be all pro again. There's no doubt in my mind. George Kittle, for my money, best tight end in football. Travis Kelce. Sorry, see you later. Doesn't mean I'm taking him first overall fantasy because, as we know, fantasy's PPR most of the time. Points per reception. I don't think he's gonna get the most targets. Although, if we're talking about the lack of receiver depth, wide receiver depth, lack of tight end, just make this guy your number one. Make him the focal point of the offense. Why not? Right? Like, does that sound insane? Just feature him more. I mean, I know it sounds redundant. We say this every year. Can we see more of George Kittle? Can we see, Baldy talks about it all the time. Can we see more of this guy? Well, if you paid Luke Farrell to be that blocking guy, is that going to open up more things for Kittle in the passing game going forward?
You would hope. There's one element, like, I just think Juice plays way too much.
Well, that's, yeah.
I would play Farrell more. I think it gives him a little more formation creativity, and I just don't fear Juice in the passing game.
Farrell's a monster.
I think they think higher of Juice in the passing game than I do, and I don't know. I think the shift should be to more two tight end sets.
Yes.
I'm interested to see it. One thing that we're never going to get is, like, how are they really going to call plays in the regular season? They did a one end around yesterday with Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
That is one thing Ayuk's not good at, like the end around stuff. Debo was great at that.
Yeah.
I think Pearsall does have some, not gadgetry, but he's got more juice and wiggle on those types of plays. I think he can be an important player in that aspect. I think they're going to do fun stuff with him.
Well, you mentioned Pearsall. All right there. This is what Shanahan had
shallow crossers.
Yep. Shanahan had talked about it yesterday after the joint practice with Denver, talking about the second year wide receiver out of Florida.
Ricky's such a good football player, and he works so the right way, and he's got such natural hands, such natural route running ability, and the game's not too big for him. So Ricky's biggest thing is just being out there and trying to stack days. You know, he got off to a late start because of his hamstring, but he's been able to stack days here over these last couple weeks, and when he does that, he just gets better and better and really helps us out on offense.
And again, probably see him tomorrow, hopefully, against the Denver Broncos. And speaking of, you know, the big storyline yesterday wasn't so much Brock Purdy. It was Mac Jones in the twos, right? No one's saying there's a quarterback controversy.
No, he's just way better than their backups the last couple of years.
He looked good yesterday against the twos. What do you want to tell me? In a day where the 49ers are getting punked left and right?
Yeah, I'm looking for positivity.
Mac Jones looked good yesterday. Shanahan saw
it. I'm actually really happy for him.
Yeah, me too. Shanahan talked about it.
Yeah, Mac's doing a good job. You know, we really liked what we've seen from him so far. You know, we had an idea what we hoped he'd be like, and he's been exactly that. He's been playing real well, and hopefully he'll continue that.
My favorite throw of the day from Mac, it wasn't the 60-yard bomb that everyone's going to, like, point to. There was I think it's Tariq Owens is wearing 83. I'm closing my eyes here trying to visualize it. Mm-hmm. Before he even makes the break, and as he turns, the head hadn't even turned. The body turned. He showed the 83. The ball was so on point. It caught him. He didn't catch it. It caught him. And I turned, and it's Grant and Bonte and you, yeah. And I go, wow, yeah. That was a great throw.
Well, of all the throws,
that was a great throw by Mac Jones.
The arm talent, hell, it might have even been the third stringer, Carter Bradley, yesterday. Like,
he had a couple of nice plays, too.
No, but like, just the arm talent alone. But Mac Jones, I do think we sleep on because
– made a great throw.
Let's be honest. What do we think about when we think about Mac Jones? You look at that picture when he had the cigar in his mouth in the locker room where he's pudgy. Come on. That's what we look at. Like, and that's what we think. Oh, he's not chiseled out of granite. He doesn't look like Josh Allen. He doesn't look like Cam Newton. He doesn't look like Lamar Jackson. He kind of looks like you or I with our shirts off, Joe.
Yeah.
But he's actually pretty big. He's like 6'3", 6'4". He's a big guy.
He's way bigger than I thought. And I think that it showcases itself in the pocket. Well, they actually gave him a pocket to throw from, though.
It showed when I saw him standing next to Trent Williams, it showed too, because they were kind of shooting the breeze after like their little...
Yeah, Trent's big.
Trent's a big guy, but Mac wasn't like looking small in comparison to him, which I noticed. And they were hanging out, they were talking, after Trent, of course, was talking with all the Denver Broncos players. Here's more from Kyle Shanahan, though, yesterday. Talked about Christian McCaffrey at the joint practice.
With all the veterans and stuff and guys have kind of proven, I don't put a lot into the joint practices. I want it to be a normal practice. I want us to go out with the goal every day just to get better, however that is. And I think the guys are getting a little bored trying to get better every day versus themselves. So I think they were more excited to go against someone else today. But there's nothing that I really make up like, hey, today we're going against someone else, so we have to do A, B, and C. I mean, it's the exact same meeting in the morning that I've had all the other 12 days. It's different jersey out there.
That's interesting to me.
What do you mean?
Have we not been told how important joint practices have been like the last couple of years, Joe? Like,
he said it.
I'm talking about
Shanahan himself has been the one to say it, who's been emphasizing that the joint practices are more important than the preseason game.
And now he's telling me they don't matter? Like, that's basically what he said. No, one more time.
Let me play this. I don't think that was my takeaway.
With all the veterans and stuff and guys have kind of proven, I don't put a lot into the joint practices. I want it to be a normal practice. I want us to go out with the goal every day just to get better, however that is. And I think the guys are getting a little bored trying to get better every day versus themselves. So I think they were more excited to go against someone else today. But there's nothing that I really make up like, hey, today we're going against someone else, so we have to do A, B, and C. I mean, it's the exact same meeting in the morning that I've had all the other 12 days. It's different jersey out there.
Well, it just felt so nonchalant. In a day that felt blasé for the 49ers, I felt it in the postgame presser from the head coach.
Interesting.
It's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just reading too much into it, Joe. But it felt like it was just sort of like, yeah, it didn't really matter. We got our asses kicked. Yeah, it is what it is. But he's not looking at it like that. So maybe I'm not the head coach of the 49ers.
He's saying it at the podium. I don't know what he's saying to his guys. And maybe he truly believes that. I don't know. Look, is it the NLB all? Not at all. But I do think that they wanted to see what they look like against other people. And I'm not you think Kittle, Bosa, Warner, Purdy, you think a practice shakes his belief on what he thinks of those guys?
Well, if I'm Brock Purdy, I come away from yesterday saying, oh my God, maybe my offensive line is awful. Like, maybe I'm screwed this year.
I'm talking about Kyle's view of those guys individually.
Well, he's
Kittle,
saying that.
Warner, Bosa, like, there are made men on this team who, he's right, practice... practice is not swaying your opinion on them. But I'm sure, like, for these other positions, like Jason Pinnock and Grant and all these guys in the secondary, I do think that practice is more important for those guys, no doubt.
You don't think the George Kittles of the world, because I saw the Denver, you know, secondary talking smack to Kittle.
Yeah,
I saw
Kittle has personal pride.
No, but I would like to see a lot of personal pride from Oliver Ennis here. I know Nick Bosa is going to give it his all, and he's going to get pissed going up against the opposition.
Sure.
I could understand. I know I saw Brandon Ayuk yesterday, not even playing, can't even participate, laser-focused, pissed off he couldn't be out there to go up against the Pat Surtans of the world. I know they're taking it seriously. I don't like hearing they get bored sometimes. It shouldn't be boring. You should be going out there to prove yourself. You got your asses kicked last year. It was a dumpster fire of a season. They need to all be laser focused and pissed off for greatness, Joe.
But Shanahan's never been the, like, let me rail on my team at the podium guy. So I'm personally not that. Taking a lot out of
well,
that.
No, I just felt like it didn't really make me feel good if I was a Niner fan listening to that.
Okay.
Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
I didn't feel good about
there.
I didn't feel about Kyle Shanahan saying, hey, you know what? You know, the guys were bored. You know, it's nice to see another team out there, and then they can kind of get a feel for it. It just changes it up. But it's really the same thing as the last 12 days. It really is. Really? Is it? Well, Baldy seems to think it's very important.
The coaches can control the amount of, you know, the tempo, the contact. It's going to be contact, unique contact. You can't evaluate offensive linemen or running backs without assimilated real game conditions. Because you got to see if running backs have any vision. Offensive linemen, you got to see if they can move big bodies, if they have anything, and defensive linemen as well. And so it's really important for the trenches and for running backs, I believe, to go out there and compete and show what you can do against other players. And you got to do it with your pads and your helmet and the whole thing. You got to simulate game. So it's really important, these practices. And then...
Oh, look at that. And then you just cut him off.
Great cutting. So using the Baldy algorithm of like, hey, you need to be able to evaluate the offensive line and the running backs. Mm-hmm. I thought the running backs were iffy outside of CMC. And I thought that the offensive line got worked by their D-line. But here's where I take a step back and I say, how many D-lines can replicate what Denver did? I don't know.
Eagles... Chiefs, maybe, but like a couple, maybe. Yeah.
Right. So I'm sure a lot of why they looked the way they looked was because Denver's really good.
Right.
Denver's really, really, really good. And I think that was hammered home in my head yesterday. Like, wow. Like, this guy, Zach Allen, 99, with the big elbow, JJ Watt elbow brace,
he did.
Was unbelievable.
That's another just aspect of just walking out on the field, Joe. And like, I'm always in awe of athlete size. And we were talking about it yesterday at Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale. You know, just the sheer width of some of these guys, they are like the biggest human beings you'll ever see.
Zach Allen is humongous.
I saw like just Nick Zakel, the backup offensive lineman that looked like Thor, dude.
Yeah, huge.
He looked just huge. Massive individuals. Yeah, Zach Allen, right? Trent Williams, even though he was like barely like in his like top shoulder pads and just regular pants on, just massive.
How about St. Brown? You walk onto the field, we see all the wide receivers. He's huge.
I understand why they keep cutting him and bringing him back.
He's so
like,
big.
Because whenever he comes back, it's like, wow, that guy's really big. Maybe he is good. And then he gets on the field. It's like, oh, he's not.
Skinny legs and ankles.
Yes.
Zero, like, juice, though.
No, but then you wonder why, like, and it's, you always look at these bodies, like, and you see it at the combine. It's like, I understand why they picked them. I understand why
it makes total sense.
But then you get the busts, right? But when it comes together, you get the Calvin Johnsons of the world. You get the Julio Jones of the world. And it's magic. It's awesome to see. Now, the Niners don't have a guy like that on this roster when it comes to just the physical prowess. Right. Even when Juwan does come back, he's a taller guy. He's not a burner. He's not going to run past you. He'll try to high top and get on top of you and then use his body. But he's not some like physical freak.
I'm obsessed with like the draft, right?
I love it too. I can't get enough of it.
And like, I love being like a year out on what my team needs. And it is so obvious, and I knew this like heading into last year's draft, but it's like, it's so obvious. Running back, wide receiver one, because you don't know where Ayuk is at, and swing tackle. I'm talking about offensively. Yeah. Like swing tackle, they need, absolutely. Like they are so razor thin at tackle. Wide receiver one, a legit 6'3", 6'4", big body guy who can play on the line and beat presses. And then they clearly need another running back. Like, these are just so obvious to me. They didn't have enough picks to fill all the needs that they had this year.
Talking about overreaction, and like I was telling them, the top 30 things I love, Joe, about the NFL, and I had preseason overreactions. You mentioned the wide receiver, the running back depth. Ashton Gentry made his debut yesterday, the top five pick for the Raiders, right?
And I didn't see any of it.
He had negative yards in total, and everyone's saying, we can't draft this guy the first round. He's horrible. I have more rushing yards than him, you and I.
The real hot story, though, did you see, is that he changed his stance? That he used to...
I was on this a month ago. Chip Kelly made him change his stance.
Oh, Chip Kelly.
Because who, when I think of excellence in the NFL for long term, I think of Chip Kelly and his coaching.
Let's not fool ourselves. We were all drinking the Chip Kelly Kool-Aid this past year at Ohio State.
That's college.
They're national champions.
That's college.
Hey, yeah.
They have a receiver who could go into the draft right now and be a top five guy.
Everyone was telling me Chip Kelly was this next hot shot to be the offensive coordinator of the NFL. Now he was highly sought after.
I watched Chip Kelly run the same slow developing read zone play on fourth and one over and over again. He was insistent on telling me that Jeremy Curley was the number one. Jeremy Curley!
My man! That's a four.
Wrong Curley.
Maybe it's wrong Curley. By the way, we got Ponte Hill joining us at 9 o'clock.
So, do you think that Ashton Gentry is the number one running back?
Oh, he's cooked now. That's what everyone's saying. It's over.
Well, I'll wait till the Baldy film comes out to make my decision.
I hope everyone remembers what we were saying about C.J. Stroud in his first ever preseason start. That he was awful. He was like 1 of 10 for like 17 yards, and everyone said he was a bust.
I will always just hate on Chip Kelly. Just know that, all right? I want you to understand that.
Well, you hated on Sean Payton forever, but you're coming back around on him.
Yeah, okay, but Sean Payton's done in the NFL for 20 years.
Okay.
All right, he's a super champion.
Okay.
Chip Kelly's a bum, all right? He's a bum.
Doc Rivers, could he ever get back in your good graces?
Look, just remember, there are certain people that scorn you in life. Chip is a bum to me, all right? And I don't care what success he has in college or whatever. He's a bum to me. He will always be a bum to me, all right? That's just some guys rub me wrong. When he said to Lowell Cone, Lowell Cone said, you'll never use the fullback. And I'll never forget this. And he said, yeah, I don't use the fullback. He goes, so if I gave you Jim Brown or Mike Allstott in their prime, you couldn't find a way to use him? And he said, nope, we don't use the fullback. I was like, well, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. If I gave Sean Payton, Mike Allstott, or Jim Brown in their prime, you don't think he could find a way to use him?
I think they would.
That's pretty stubborn.
Maybe.
That's pretty stubborn by Chip. He got ran out of UCLA as a head coach. All right, I don't even want to hear about Chip.
But then he wanted Ohio State, so it all worked out for him.
As an assistant. I mean, that was so disappointing, him at UCLA. It just went back, all this fanfare, and then just an absolute burnout down there.
Sean Foster had never coached a game. They're like, upgrade.
All right, Tom Sula or Chip Kelly? Who's on the bigger hierarchy?
Tom Sula actually won 5 games. I can't believe I'm saying this.
Tom Sula, Jimmy T, Fartgate.
Hey, Tom Sula was a great D-line coach.
You remember that?
Look, talk smack about him as a head coach. He wasn't good. I'm not here to defend that. Tom Sula won 5 games. That's all I'm going to say.
We're comparing.
Good positional coach.
Kelly lost to Johnny Manziel.
We're giving perspective here. There was Kyle Shanahan's Johnny Manziel, too. Look at that. Offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns.
They went. This is my favorite. They were going to Chicago playing in a frozen tundra game. They stayed somewhere on the East Coast where it was super humid. And the Niners social media team put out a video. And it was Chip Kelly, like with the special teams, preparing for the snow. And they were pouring a water bottle over a football. I was like, we're so cooked. What are we? We're in 100 degree heat.
Was that Matt Barkley?
I don't remember who it was.
Snow is made of water.
It was Matt Barkley from
Chicago
Bears. You
don't pour a water bottle over a football in Florida to prepare for Chicago snow.
I mean, you're preparing in Florida for Chicago. You're already lost.
That's why Chip. Oh my God!
It snowed in Florida this past year, didn't it?
Chip Kelly.
Well, it's always snowing there.
I'm
if you guys
so
catch my
out
drift,
on Chip Kelly. I just moved past him. He's just always going to be a guy.
2016. Yeah, it was Matt Barkley. I remember that game. Matt Barkley and Kaepernick. Come on. Oh, the times have changed.
I mean, like, honestly, I could hate on Sean Payton as, like, a joke. Sean Payton's been he has been the architect of an incredible offense for so long. For so long. Chip Kelly? Guy had 5 seconds with the Eagles. We're reinventing football.
They did make the playoffs.
The dream team.
Nick Foles had 7 touchdowns at the Coliseum. I saw it. I was there. Riley Cooper. Yikes. Don't bring up that name anymore. Hey, Shanahan, how'd you think Brock Purdy did yesterday?
Don't talk about that.